The title of this sermon is Letting Go of Fear. Letting go of fear. I hesitated to do this one because fear is such a big topic. And a disclaimer right from the start, I won't be talking about every single fear that we hold on to because that would be an entire series in itself. So I'm going to talk about some particular fears that oftentimes will hold us back. I want to look at a story in Scripture that I think highlights some of the many fears that pull us away from the life that God has for us. I'll start here this morning by offering two, I guess they're commands, but I like the word imperatives because command sounds very domineering. These are two imperatives that we hear over and over and over again in Scripture. All the way from the beginning in Genesis and the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament to Revelation. And the imperative, it goes a little bit like this. Do not be afraid. Have you ever read through your Bible and you come across that phrase? Whether it's God speaking, an angel speaking, one of the leaders speaking, a prophet speaking, Jesus speaking. Do not be afraid. Another variation of this, do not fear. So we find this imperative, do not be afraid, do not fear, over and over and over again. If you read through any portion of the Bible, chances are you will come across some iteration of this, don't fear, don't be afraid. Who has an idea about how many times this is used in the Bible? Any thoughts about this? Whoa, 520, 600, 365. That's a very common thought that a lot of people have. There's actually one for every single day. Now, you do a little bit of research, and again, there's all different variations on it, so the number is pretty high, but there's at least 150, at least 150, if not more than that. So this shows up again and again. It's a lot. It's a lot. Maybe not 600, but it's there. And again, sometimes there's stories that highlight this, so the words might not be there, but the stories, they highlight this idea, don't be afraid, do not fear. Now, this tells me two very, very important things. If you're taking notes, here's the highlights of this sermon. Two important things, the fact that this is used over and over again. The first one is, fear is a common human emotion or response. It's a common human feeling. Otherwise, it would show up maybe like five times. It wouldn't show up at all. The fact that this is repeated again and again and again, it tells me this is common. And then I wish I had my slide deck because I love just surprising you with a new slide. Like I give a question and then boom, the answer appears right behind me. But I'll say this morning. If you have experienced fear, and then I had the next slide, and this is all in caps, you are normal. So I want to normalize your experience this morning. If any of you have ever experienced fear in your life, maybe you find yourselves there this morning, you're normal. You're human. All right, I see a few of you are like, all right, whew. I can breathe a little deeper. I can breathe a little easier. Here's the second thing this tells me about the fact that it shows up again and again and again. God is inviting us into a way of living beyond fear. Fear is normal. It's a common human response. At the same time, God is inviting us to live and move beyond the fears that we hold on to. Now, how does this happen? In order to first off, let's do a dictionary definition of fear. Two definitions of fear. Fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain, or it's a threat. Your body is sensing there is something dangerous here. There is a threat. There is something that might cause me pain. And here's the truth. There's physical pain, but then there's emotional pain as well. Sometimes that emotional pain, it can be even worse than the physical pain. I've broken a couple of bones in my life, tore my ACL. The physical pain, it's there and it hurts. But yet, I've also experienced some gut-wrenching emotional moments in my life. And the truth is, those hurt way more than the broken bones that I've experienced. You can get some morphine for the broken bones. remember sitting in the hospital bed, and I had that IV drip of morphine, and I kept pressing the button. And eventually the nurse came in, because she's like, well, you pressed the button 20 times before the allotted time of when you could get more morphine. Do we need to raise your drug level? So, yeah, there's different things that can help you manage the pain, but the emotional pain, it lingers. It stays with you. It lasts. So some of the fears that we hold on to, they're there because of something that we are emotionally experiencing. Here's a second definition of fear: to be afraid of someone or something as, again, likely to be dangerous, painful, or threatening. So there is someone or there's something that you think will cause, again, that emotional type pain. It's dangerous, and that elicits a response of fear within us. Now, there's many different types of fear. Oh, I forgot. I actually had this. This is great, because this was the slide I wanted to show you. There are many different types of fear. Here's one type of fear. And we kind of laugh at these fears. They're funny. Snakes. Oh, there's Indiana Jones. There's Harry. Yeah, that's a funny kind of a thing. They play it again and again in the movies. Yeah, that's funny. But then there are the real fears that hold us back. We have a fear of dying, fear of death. What about fear of social interactions? And this one, I feel like it's more pronounced since COVID. I know some people who they were sequestered in their home for a while, and they just aren't the same since COVID. Something psychologically has happened to them, and the thought of going out and being with other people, it brings up trepidation. Real fear. This is a real fear that some of us have, fear of interacting with others. What about fear of loss? Loss of a loved one, loss of a job. I mean, loss can cover the entire spectrum. What about fear of not having enough money? This actually was one of the biggest fears of 2023. Fear of not having enough money to live and sustain yourself or your family. Fear of failure. You ever experienced this one before? I can't go and do that. What if I were to fail? What if it were to all fall apart under me? Or what about this one? This is one we don't think about often. What a fear of your greatness. You all possess power within you, God-given power. Sometimes we're afraid of our potential. So we stay on the couch because there's this fear that we have about what or who we could become. There's actually a psychologist. He said, fear of our dark side is just as powerful as the fear of our inner gold. I love that thought. Or fear of you fill in the blank, because we all have our individual personalized fears. So we have the silly fears, which aren't so silly if you've been bitten by a snake before, I guess. And then we have some of the more serious, weighty fears, we could say. Now, let's look at a story, and just a little note here. This is a story that occurs after the resurrection. This is the post-resurrection appearance of Jesus. I know we're not supposed to talk about post-resurrection appearances before we get to resurrection, but a little spoiler, Jesus is raised from the dead. He comes back to life. Death doesn't hold him in the grave. And right in the beginning, right after he is resurrected, the disciples don't know what to think. They are huddled in a room. And John tells us, on the evening of that first day of the week, right after Jesus had been crucified, when the disciples were together with the doors locked. I love that picture right there. I didn't have to say that. But John is showing us these guys, they're really hiding themselves away. Why? Because there's fear of the Jewish leaders. Not only are they huddled in a room away from everyone else, but they locked the door. They barricaded the door so that no one could get in. Jesus came. Again, doors locked, and Jesus, he appears. Like, whoa, how'd that happen? What's going on here? Jesus came, stood among them, and he said, peace be with you. That's it. Not like, hey, what's for dinner? Or, hey, how you guys doing? No. It's simply, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, it's like on repeat, peace be with you. In case you didn't hear it the first time. As the Father has sent me, I am now sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, fear is the word phobos. Who knows what English word we get from phobos? Phobia, yes. Here's how phobos is defined. To flee, to withdraw. Withdrawal, fleeing because of feeling inadequate. You ever been there before? Running away from something because of an inadequacy that you feel within you? To separate from, to remove oneself. At the heart of this fear, this phobos that we see exhibited by the disciples, is this splitting apart. Now, here's the audience participation part that I promised you. So I need two volunteers here this morning. Okay, G4, you're up. Come on down, you're the next contestant. And G2. Maybe I should audition for Price is Right. Who's doing it? Drew Carey, is he still doing it? All right, everyone give him a round of applause. Come on down, we need the theme music. Okay, now here's what we'll do. We're talking about fear, this word phobos, which means to withdraw or to separate. Now, okay, you stand right here, back to back. So turn around, you face that way, and then you're going to face this way. Okay, now take three steps in that direction, you take three steps in this direction. Okay, right there. That's fear. Separating, removing, fleeing. Okay, now can you guys stay there for a few minutes? Or do you want to take a seat? Okay, you can stay there for a few minutes. Fear, phobos, it's a separation from God, from ourselves, from others, from the creation. Take another step. For the disciples, they are locked away in a room. They are withdrawing from the situation. They are separating themselves from God, from others, from the world. Now, this is a very common human response, as we have seen, and you cannot fault the disciples for this. Jesus has just died. Their leader has just been crucified. So, yeah, they're afraid for their lives. This is true. Quick disclaimer here, fear, it's normal, and fear is important. Think about the earliest humans. Fight or flight. If you are in the jungle and you run into a saber-toothed tiger, are you going to stay there and pet the tiger, comb his hair, or are you going to run away? Okay, some of you aren't sure, don't know what's going on there. For all the rest of us rational folks, we would run away as fast as we can because our fear response kicks in. Remember, fear is normal. It's a good thing. Elizabeth Gilbert, the author, she has offered the best advice on fear that I have ever heard in my life. Fear can ride in the car because it's good, it's helpful, it keeps you alive. It tells you there's a threat, something is dangerous, but it has to stay in the back seat. It can't ride shotgun, so it can't choose the music, and it absolutely cannot drive. This is, when I came across this, I was like, oh my goodness, this is the best piece of advice on fear that I've ever heard in my entire life. Fear can stay in the car because it keeps you alive, and it tells you there's a threat. Don't touch the hot stove. This person is dangerous. I need to stay away from them. Oh, there's something going on here. I'm feeling it in my body. Let me inspect this a little bit more. We all know what fear feels like, right? Your mouth goes a little bit dry. You feel it in your stomach. We have a bodily response to fear. So again, in this instance, this guy will probably survive. This one will be lunch. Fear is a good thing, except when it rides shotgun or drives the car. You keep it in the back seat. Now, Jesus comes, breathes on them. As he enters the room, what does he say? All right, let's say that again. How many times does he repeat it? Two times. Peace is the Greek word eirene from the word eiro. What does this word mean? What's the definition of eirene? To join or to tie together into a whole. Please take one step further away from each other to remind ourselves this is what fear does. Withdraw, it separates, which for a time it is good. Because sometimes you do need to run. Sometimes you do need to separate yourself from a situation. But Jesus comes and he says, it's now time to move beyond the fear, to not stay in a place of perpetual fear. Twice, peace be with you. Please turn around, face each other. Now begin walking towards each other. This is what Jesus is commanding. Oh, sorry. Let me get this. We're good. So many wires here. My goodness, I got to clean my office for you. This is peace. This is moving beyond fear. Let's give our volunteers a round of applause. What Jesus says is, I know that you've withdrawn. I know you've separated yourselves. And it's okay. It's all right. It's a normal response. There was a threat. You had a perceived threat. But now it's time to rejoin. And here, fear, yep, well, we illustrated this morning instead of just having some notes here. Peace be with you. Let's reconnect that which has been separated. Let's not live in separation, constantly split, but rather let's rejoin that which has been broken apart. The question then for us this morning, how do we trade peace for fear? How do we move beyond this fear so that we can rejoin that which we have lost as a result of the threats and dangers that we perceive throughout our lives? 1 John chapter 4, 18, love this verse. There is no fear in love. Honestly, this is one of those verses that sounds great, but you read it and it's still really hard for it to connect with your heart. You can intellectually agree with verses, but for them to sink into your heart is something completely different. And I'll be honest, this is one of those that you read, you know it, you believe it, but to feel it in your heart is something wholly different. It's really difficult to get there. And there's some moments, sometimes the fears that we have within us that we're carrying around, they are just so great that while this sounds good, it's very, very difficult to believe or live into this reality. Perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. First way to trade peace for fear, remind yourself you are loved. You have to remind yourself you are loved. At the core of who you are someone who is loved. Remember this imperative over 150 times, probably more than this. Don't be afraid. Do not fear. These are reminders of who you are. This was fear. Fleeing because of feeling inadequate. When we read these imperatives, these words in Scripture to not be afraid, we are being reminded, you are a person of courage. Sometimes we don't feel that way. Sometimes our fear is so great, we define ourselves by our fear. This is me. This is how it's always going to be. That threat that I have, that danger, that feeling of danger, it's too great, it's too strong. I'm always going to be afraid of that. The words of Jesus, the words of God, the words of all those we read in Scripture, hey, that's not your truest self. That's a separation from the person that God has created you to be. In truth, you are a person of courage. You are a person of strength. Who needs to hear those words repeated again and again? Who needs to hear those words spoken over them from time to time? Yeah, I think we could all, you imagine waking up in the morning and you just had a tape recorder playing, hey, as you greet this day, the 3rd of March, 2024, remind yourself, remember, you are a person of courage. You're a person of strength. You are a person of power. You're a person of worth and value. You're a person of love. And you are a person of connection. Fear separates us. Peace, love brings us back together. Think about how Jesus responds to the disciples. He walks into the room. His words are, peace be with you. Let's memorize that verse this week. Put it on get a bumper sticker or get a tattoo. Put it up on your bathroom sink. Put it on your forehead. Whatever you need to do. Jesus does not walk into the room and is like, you losers. Like, what's going on? I talked about this. What are you doing here? What are you huddled away in a room? No, no. That's called shame. It's not how God operates. Any feelings of inadequacy that you have, those are not words of God. Any words of shame that have been spoken over you, those are not words of God. God walks in. Jesus walks into the room. Peace be with you. I know what you've been through. It's okay. It's okay. Fear. Yeah. It's normal. It's okay. Let's acknowledge it. And together, not by yourself, but together, we're gonna move through this. We're going to live into a different space. Jesus is building the disciples up. Peace be with you. It's going to be okay. You're separated now, but it's all right. Let's rejoin that which has been disconnected. Here's the second way to move from peace, to move from fear to peace. Remember your connectedness with the whole. First, be reminded that you are loved, your person of courage, strength, power, worth, value. And then remember, you're connected to the whole. There's a lot of fear, a lot of fear-mongering that goes on in our world. We see it in the news, social media. Maybe you know people who live with a lot of fear and they try to project their fears onto you. This happens quite a bit. At the heart of all the fear that's swirling around our culture is this force of separation, because that's what fear tries to do. It tries to separate you from that which you are truly connected with. We are connected to each other. We're deeply connected to each other. You're to live connected with yourself. You're to live connected with God, with this creation that we're a part of. What fear does, fear comes in, it tries to sell you this lie telling you, be afraid of the other. Be afraid of the different. Be afraid of the unknown. Be afraid of that which you are uncertain of. Fear comes in and tries to, as we just had our volunteers up here, to keep pulling us further and further apart. And unfortunately, many of the forces in our world today, they do a really, really good job of continuing to move us away from each other. Jesus says that's not the way to live, because that's not how you were created to live. You were created to be connected to all of it. To all of it. To each person. Yeah, some people might look a little different. They might think a little different. But in reality, you're still connected to them, because we're all a part of a whole together. How do we trade? Or how do we move from fear to peace? We remember and we tell ourselves, although they're different than me and they're other, I'm still connected to them. And if I were to show love, well, then maybe that separation would begin to shrink a little bit. If I were to remember that I'm a person who's loved and they're a person of love, well, the separation and the splitting that so often happens because of fear, it would minimize as we rejoin that which is meant to be connected. I love this, what Jesus says to his disciples after, peace be with you. As I have been sent to you, and then I added this is my translation, I've been sent to you in love, to show you the way of love, to reconnect you with that which has been separated, to reconnect you with God, the one who is over all things, the one who holds all things together. That was the mission of Jesus, to remind us through love, we're all connected. And sin enters the equation, fear enters, all these things that we hold on to that try to break us apart. And Jesus tries to get to the heart of it and say, yeah, those things, those are all human-made constructs and ways of living that actually harm ourselves. So Jesus is sent in love to reveal to us our truest selves. Jesus comes in his fullest humanity to lead us into our fullest humanity. Jesus says, as I have been sent to you, all that you have learned, all that you've seen, all that you have witnessed, you are now being sent out to show others this way of love. You are now being sent out to move beyond the fear, to live in a way of peace, of rejoining that which has been lost. And how are they being sent out? It's the day of translation. In love. In love. Perfect love casts out fear. Well, that's the song we're going to sing. Actually, I had Keaton just sent me the songs, and No Longer Slay is all about fear. And I'm like, oh, that'll be a perfect ending for us here this morning. What I want to do here, as we close our service, I want to celebrate Eucharist, because at the heart of Eucharist is love. Jesus going to the cross for love. Jesus bearing the weight of the fear, of the sin, all the harms that we inflict upon ourselves and upon each other, all the ways that we try to separate ourselves from others, whether intentionally or unintentionally. Jesus carries the weight of all of it, brings it down into death with him, and then rises again, saying, "Peace be upon you all." It's all reconnected. God is putting this all back together. We celebrate Eucharist 2,000 years later, this ancient Christian ritual, because it reminds us that there are some things which need to go to the grave with Christ. There are some things that we need to let go of. So we come to the table and we open our hands and we let go of that which is holding us back, that which is causing harm within ourselves, the sin that we hold on to, the fear that we are struggling to move beyond. We open our hands and we just lay those down at the cross. And as we take the bread, as we take the cup, we're reminded this is all for love. This immense love that Christ has for you. Because perfect love casts out fear. And what we see in the person of Jesus is the perfect love of God on display for all humanity.